The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, PeteEvans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Alana, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you, sister?
I'm well.
And I did ask you just before if I'm pronouncing your name right, and I did get it wrong the first time, so I apologize, but I'd love for you to explain your correct pronunciation.
Well, it's not an easy name, but I was named by my Romanian grandmother. It's traditional in Romanian families, at least of my generation. And she named me Iliana after the princess of Romania, Queen Maria's youngest child. And then my middle name, she named me Margaret after the president of the United States then was Harry Truman, after his wife, Margaret. So I have the burden of these very illustrious names, but I go by Ilana because in America, no one really says it right. Ilana, it's too difficult because you have to use the back of your mouth.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be very good at that.
but English is not made that way. You know, English is all about the throat and the front of the mouth. No, we're not like the French with the back of the throat. You know, I mean, a lot of European languages use a different part of the mouth that we never use in English.
Yeah, my wife is great at rolling her tongue and doing the R's, and I can't. Yeah, and it's so funny. A very dear friend of mine's French, and he can do it so well as well. And I'm fascinated by names. I mean, my name is Pete or Peter, and it basically means the rock.
That's right.
And my Chinese sign is the ox, and makes so much sense when I've looked at my life, like steadfast rock, you know, always immovable, nearly basically. And
some wonderful qualities.
Did I become that because of my name and when I was born, or did it manifest in me? You know, it's these mysteries of life, and that's
well. And names are sound currents. You see, they have they're like a frequency. So if someone says your name wrong all the time, that can have a very big impact on you. Which is why I decided to be called Ilana. Because I never could hear the right inflection on the Romanian way of pronouncing my name. So, you know, and it's fine now. I changed it, I think, after high school. I think I finally gave up. And it wasn't much of a change. You know, I mean, it sounds a lot like that. But I think the sound current is important. When I was a teacher of high school aged and early college aged kids, I always made sure that I said their name correctly. And I said that I wanted them to correct me if I didn't, because I knew I was influencing them with the sound current, you see. And Peter, very old name, and certainly is connected to the rock, not just from the Christian angle of it either. Before that, it was connected to this sort of steadfast, immovable force kind of thing. Yeah.
Fascinating. We could have a whole conversation about names. What I really wanted to, I mean, this has been a long time coming, this interview. I've wanted to reach out to you for so long, and I'm very grateful that you've accepted my invitation to have this conversation, because what I started noticing many, many years ago was when I looked up into the sky, the sky no longer looked like what it did for me as a boy. And without seeming that I was going crazy, I just kept looking up going, there's something going on that's very different. The clouds look different. There seems to be aircraft in the sky that are flying at a different altitude and different directions than what a normal flight path would look at. And I started to see more and more that these aircraft were dispensing something into the sky. And and it's really interesting. I mean, it's 2022 now, and I bring this up to people that I would think would have an idea that something is changing, and they look at me with blank stares, like, what are you talking about? Like, don't you look up? It's different than when I was a kid. And where I'm going with this is, just to give you a little bit of background, over the last 10 years we've talked about very deeply about how the food that we eat can either slowly poison us or quickly poison us and shorten our lives, or if we're smart about it and informed, we can make wise choices, which hopefully will bring us long-term sustainable health. And for me, I've always seen that as we have the choice to what we put into our bodies. Same thing with vaccines. We have a choice with what we put into our bodies. Pharmaceuticals, we have a choice. Beauty products, we have a choice of, do we use aluminum or aluminium sprays or deodorants, or can we choose something healthier or without that? Same with water. We have the choice, fluoride or non-fluoride in our water, if we choose to buy a filter. But when I'm looking up at the skylight, I don't get a choice in the air that I'm breathing. No. And I found this to be sort of the excuse my language here, but fuck. fuck. This is something that's out of my control. So, and I know that there's something going on here. So I wanted to, I know you've written extensively about this and researched this. So I feel like this can be a 101 about what that is in the sky. Am I crazy? Has the sky changed? Has the weather patterns changed? Are there planes dispersing stuff? Or is it like a friend of mine who's a pilot and flies helicopters? He goes, no, that's just a contrail. That's just condensation. I'm like, that doesn't really make sense, because anyway, so that's my rant, and I feel like I can give this to you now for the next hour and I'll just sit here.
Right. And it is important. I tend to sort of glide over it now, because of course I know that history and have written about it. And you know, if people want to know that history, I always say to them, you know, read the book, because that's why I wrote the book, so I can answer questions right away if you read. But that is a problem, isn't it? Most people don't read now. So let me just kind of do a broad brushstroke on it. All right. So years ago, the scene I thought of when you were talking, I remember lying. And if you remember as a boy that the sky has changed, you can imagine how it is for me, because I'm 74 years old. And I was raised without television. There were no electronics to speak of. I still remember one of my best experiences was having my mother and I were living with my grandmother and my grandfather, and in an Eastern European neighborhood, very poor, but very happy, and lots of activity of Hungarians and Czechs and Romanians. And, you know, I mean, just an amazingly rich place for someone who is a language user. Like I'm a writer, a speaker, a teacher. Oh yeah, this was perfect for me. And I remember I'd visit my grandparents on the farm out of the city, out of a big city, in my father's side of the family. And I would lie in the meadow, because of course there was no TV there either, or anything that ate up all my attention. That's really what's going on now, is children's attention is constantly eaten up by things that really don't matter. So I would lie in the meadow and look up at the sky, and my mind just made pictures out of all the clouds. And at that time in school, we would study the different types of clouds, and I believe there were three types. And now, of course, I speak about it in one of the books. They've invented all kinds of clouds, which are not real clouds. These are plasma clouds. That's why they feel unfamiliar to those of us who remember actual condensation clouds. That is not how these are made. These are basically made with particulate matter, namely nanoparticles of various chemicals, aluminum, barium, strontium, chromium, lithium, etc. And they are zapped with electromagnetic instruments here on the Earth, primarily for our atmosphere. And then you can create clouds, you can disperse clouds, you can make them disappear like that, because you've got laptops, you've got monitors, you are running the software algorithms for this cloudscape in the sky, for the storm patterns, for tornadoes, hurricanes, whatever you have. You must control the atmosphere. And to control the atmosphere, as you probably remember from things that various anti-geoengineering activists like myself have brought forward over the years, you're talking about ionosphere heaters and the ability to control the ionosphere. And if you can control the ionosphere, you can ionize any part of the atmosphere over any region, really, by computer, by sending directions to satellites, radar installations, even cell towers play their role in this. They have various devices on them that are equipped for creation of weather, movement of weather. And so that's the reason we don't see any real clouds, because unless you're in the South Pacific, when actual weather seems to arise down there, begins to move and roil, and immediately the geoengineers and the U.S. Navy and merchant marines are already on it, grabbing it, controlling it, deciding what to do with it as a weapon, as a perhaps something to do with communications of either military communications, or even if there's a big conference somewhere, like, you know, the Paris conference, for example, in 2015, where we were sold a bill of goods about climate change and carbons and global warming, all of it, a huge cover story for military industrial intelligence.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views, and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical, or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences, and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions, or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.